Bible says in Leviticus chapter 25 and verse number 10, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. This is Pastor Wynn Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. We are located just 4 miles from the red light at Wendy's. Most everybody knows where that is. I think that's the busiest intersection in North Carolina, especially at this time of the year. Probably not, but it feels like it when you're sitting out there. But we're just 4 miles from the red light. If you get on 105 South and go about 3 miles out of town, turn right on Baird's Creek Road. We are 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road, and we'd love for you to come and visit with us. We're used to having visitors. We had a lot of visitors last Sunday. We appreciate those who come out to be with us. We had some college students. We certainly want to invite you with ASU starting back this week, and we want to invite you to come out. You'd be more than welcome to come and visit with us. This Sunday would be a great time to visit. We're having homecoming this weekend. Sunday school will be at 10 o'clock, preaching service at 11. We'll have a meal and a time of fellowship after that, and so you're invited. We'd love for you to come. Good morning, Noah. How are you today?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good.
Yes. It's good to be here. We want to say welcome to all our listeners, those listening in on AM 1450 right here in Boone, and also those listening in on AM 690 in Bristol, Virginia.
We do appreciate very much our listeners. It's good to hear from them from time to time. Today, we are going to begin a new subject. I don't know if we'll go 1 week or two or just however long it takes, but I want to begin to talk about the book that birthed a nation. The book that birthed a nation. This year, 2011, marks the 400-year anniversary of the King James Bible. And I have found so much material that I could share. It was hard to even know where to start. But the 400-year anniversary of the King James Bible. Now, originally, it was not referred to as the King James Bible or the King James Version. That was not begun until about the year 1814. Now, when I lived in the country of England, when I was in the Air Force, I learned over there that in England, they don't call it the King James Version. They call it the Authorized Version. But originally, it wasn't even called the Authorized Version. Originally, it was simply called, the title to it was the Holy Bible. That's a good, that's what we refer to it as well, the Holy Bible. But in our day of multiplied versions, we have to be distinct on what we're talking about. It's sad that it is that way, but once upon a time, we're going to show this today, there was only, when you talked about the Bible, there was only one Holy Bible. That's what we refer to as the King James Bible. Now, if you look up the word Bible in the dictionary, the Webster's 1828 dictionary, it has in big capital letters, the book, capital T-H-E-B-O-O-K, the book. It comes from a Latin term, which that's what it means, the book. The definition I thought was very good. It says, by way of eminence, the sacred volume in which are contained the revelations of God, the principles of Christian faith, and the rules of practice. Now, of course, Mr. Webster was referring exclusively to the King James Bible. When he talked about the Bible being the book, he was referring to the King James. That was the only Bible that there was. There was not, at that time, multiplied different versions up on the market. Mr. Webster said this about the King James Bible. He said, the moral principles and precepts contained in the Scripture ought to form the basis of all our civil constitutions and laws. All the miseries and evil men suffer from vice, crime, ambition, injustice, oppression, slavery, and war proceed from their despising or neglecting the precepts contained in the Bible. Mr. Webster was a dedicated Christian. He was a leader in the founding of our nation. His high regard for the Bible, the King James Bible, was not just lip service either. Mr. Webster's dictionary contains so many Bible definitions and words. Just for example, if I was confronted with the possibility of being stranded on an island, and I could only have two books with me, I would choose first of all the Bible, and second of all, as a study help and a commentary, I would take the Webster's 1828 Dictionary. It is a great companion and aid to real in-depth Bible study. It's a great commentary upon the Bible. So that says a lot about the Webster's 1828 Dictionary. Even men who were not professing Christians at one time held the Bible in a very high regard. Now, you will hear people talk about, well, Thomas Jefferson, Benjamin Franklin, they were deists, and they were not professing Christians. They were not born again, as we would refer to today in Christian churches, talk about being born again. They were religious, but they were not born again. They wouldn't refer to themselves as being saved, and they had some different views. That could be a whole broadcast in and of itself, but they did respect the Bible. They did believe in God. They believed that there would be a judgment day, and they would be held responsible for the truth and the light which they had and what they did with it. But anyway, they respected the Holy Bible. For example, Benjamin Franklin, who was not a believer, he said this about the Bible. He said, a Bible, and of course he's referring, I'm stressing that today, he's referring to the King James Bible. He said, a Bible and a newspaper in every house, a good school in every district, all studied and appreciated as they merit, are the principal support of virtue, morality, and civil liberty. Now, I don't have time today to explore all the thousands of references to the Bible made by different people, statesmen, politicians, leaders, judges, Daniel Boone. I mean, we could just go on and on and on today talking about the Bible and what men and women have said about the Bible, both in England and America over the last 400 years. A book could be filled up on the subject, but I'll give just a few by way of example today. Andrew Jackson, he was our 7th president of the United States. He said that book, he was referring, of course, to the King James Bible. He said, that book, sir, is the rock upon which our republic rests. Do you know, once upon a time, I don't even know if you can imagine it or not, but once upon a time in America, every school, public and private and home, every home that had a Bible had a King James Bible. Every courthouse, every courtroom, they would swear up on the King James Bible and refer to. Every university studied the King James Bible. Every church house had the same Bible. Every sermon from every pulpit came from the same holy book, and the influence upon our society and our people and our government and our way of life and our, I mean, the influence of the King James Bible cannot be overemphasized. Just by way of example, many of the phrases that we use each and every day, I mean, people use and they quote the King James Bible. They don't even realize it. There are so many phrases and terms and words that we use that come directly out of the King James Bible. It is just an evidence, maybe that we don't even think about sometimes, of the saturation of the Holy Scriptures in our society. And I have just a small list I'll share with you today. People talk about the apple of his eye. That's right out of the King James Bible. You reap what you sow. The powers that be, right out of the Bible. Can a leopard change his spots? Am I my brother's keeper? Right out of the Bible. Eat, drink, and be merry. Judge not that ye be not judged. Patience is a virtue. A broken heart, a fly in the ointment, a labor of love, a sign of the times. We hear that many times. That's right out of the Bible. A thorn in the flesh, somebody might say, oh, that's a thorn in the flesh. A wolf in sheep's clothing, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, as old as the hills, as white as snow, at his wit's end. Born again, that phrase, born again, right out of the Bible. A coat of many colors. Why, Dolly Parton sang a song many years ago about a coat of many colors. Where'd she get that idea from? Out of the Bible. Noah and I, we read the comics together every day. And our favorite is Pearls Before Swine. Now, it doesn't really have anything to do with the Bible, but that's the name, that's the title, that's right out of the Bible. Pearls Before Swine, to give up the ghost, to be a good Samaritan, harden your heart, right out of the Bible. In a twinkling of an eye, right out of the Bible. No rest for the wicked. The patience of Job. Noah and I were talking about this morning. What comic was it, Noah?
It was Curtis, I believe.
Curtis.
Yes.
The comic this morning, as we were sitting at the breakfast table discussing this, one of the characters in there referred to something being a two-edged sword, how it cuts both ways. That's right out of the Bible. Straight and narrow, the writing on the wall, woe is me. I mean, we say things and refer to things all the time that come right out of the Bible. The publishing of the Bible, the proliferation of the Bible. I mean, just getting the Bible into the hands of the people in America and England as well. It started a spark which fanned a flame, which turned into an inferno, which engulfed two nations, both England and America. We see the entrance and the publishing of the King James Bible. We see there was a great spark of freedom that came upon the nations, and people wanted and desired and talked about, and scholars and universities and great minds began to write upon the subject of liberty and freedom and where it comes from, and the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. They both have their roots in the Bible. What the Bible says about liberty and what the Bible says about freedom. A contemporary of Patrick Henry, and of course Patrick Henry, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, all of these men. This man, Charles Turner of Duxbury, he made a statement. I read this in a book about the life of Patrick Henry. He said this. He said the Scriptures, now he's talking about the King James Bible, the only Bible that they had. The Scriptures cannot be rightfully expounded without explaining them in a manner friendly to the cause of freedom. He said you can't even rightly expound the Bible except that you do it in a manner friendly to the cause of freedom and liberty. A favorite sermon text during that time period, during that day, was 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and verse number 17, where the Bible says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. You know, every week when I come here and open up the radio broadcast, the Blessings of Liberty, I say Leviticus 25:10, which says, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. That is the first time that you find the word liberty in the Bible. Now, the Bible, the King James Bible, specifically and distinctly has a law of first mention. What I mean by that, if you want to find God's mind on any subject in the Bible, no matter what it is, look up the first time that word is mentioned in the King James Bible, and you'll find the mind of God upon that subject. So the first time we find the word liberty in the Bible, it says, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. Do you know God wants each and every one of us to have liberty? And of course, ultimate liberty is not political, it's spiritual. It's found in a person, not in a nation. It's found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The New Testament says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. John chapter 8, if the Son therefore shall set you free, ye shall be free indeed. Another first mention I will mention today in the King James Bible, if you look up the word book. Now, the word Bible means book. If you look up the word book in the King James Bible, the first time it's mentioned is in Genesis chapter 5 in verse number 1. And if you have any doubt about it, it says, this is the book. You want to know where the book is? Right there it is. Now, the others, for example, the CEV, they don't even have the word book there. They have something else. A lot of them, they've taken the word book out. It's not mentioned until other places. There's the law of first mention. But Leviticus 25:10, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof, is inscribed upon the Liberty Bell, which is in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Liberty is, first and foremost, a spiritual truth. Then it is a civic or political idea or truth. People were not really interested in liberty until they begin to find true liberty by and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they got a taste of true liberty, they wanted more of it. They wanted more to know about it. And so it oozed out into the society of the day and begin to permeate and take over the ideas of the minds of the people. John Adams said this about the American Revolution. He said the revolution was effected before the war commenced. The revolution was in the minds and hearts of the people, a change in their religious sentiments of their duties and obligations. Do you know what made the change in the hearts and minds of the people of America? It was one book that was preached all up and down the East Coast. I have said many times, talked about the ministry of George Whitefield, Jonathan Edwards, Samuel Davies, great men of God like that, that preached liberty, that preached freedom. George Whitefield was America's first household name that everybody from Maine to Georgia and Florida, they knew about George Whitefield and the ministry that he had and the great revival and the people that came to know the Lord. I said at the beginning, I said we were going to talk about the book that birthed a nation. There's no way to estimate just how much of an influence the King James Bible had upon our nation. But the more I study into this and look into it, for example, Patrick Henry's famous speech, give me liberty or give me death. They said about Patrick Henry that he was such a leader that what he said influenced the way that all the others thought. He's the unsung hero of the American Revolution. Now, he's highly looked upon, but he was really one of the key leaders. And before the American Revolution, he gave the famous speech, give me liberty or give me death. And I went back this morning and I read that speech all the way through, and I took a red pen and I underlined all of the Bible words, the Bible phrases, or distinctions that could clearly be traced back to the King James Bible. It's an 8-minute speech on a piece of 8.5 by 11 normal notebook paper. It's about 3 pages, 3.5 pages, maybe even 2.5 pages. But I have I've done or that speech before, and it takes about eight and a half minutes, something like that. And I went back and read it this morning. I found at least 65 distinct Bible words, Bible phrases, or distinctions that could be traced back to the Bible. Why most pastors in this day and time don't have that many references in their sermons. It's no wonder we're in such a mess, but there's at least 65 Bible words, phrases, or distinctions in his famous speech, "Give me liberty or give me death." The Bible, the Holy Bible, was America's first textbook. It was America's first civics book. You could not become a lawyer without studying the Bible, because how could you deal with law without knowing God's law? It was America's first revival book. It was America's first song book. I found something very, very interesting just recently studying upon this subject. The word liberty in the King James Bible is found 27 different times. 27 different times you find the word liberty in the King James Bible. Now, if you don't get anything else, I hope you get this from the radio broadcast today. Now, if this book birthed a nation, and I believe it did, then liberty, I mean, it was on the tongues, on the hearts of the people. They got their inspiration, their fire from the Holy Bible. Now, for 300 years, there's not even a competitor. There's no other book out there, no other Bible. In 1901, right around, in, first of all, it came from England, the 1880s, but in America, to America came the American Standard Version in 1901. The American Standard Version, by the way, went bankrupt within the first few years because of a lack of interest among God's people. They knew that was not the Word of God. But in the ASV of 1901, the word liberty is only found 19 times. So they've cut out, it's gone from 27 times to 19 times. The next attempt by the devil, I believe, to pervert the Word of God came along in the 1950s, copyrighted 1952, the NASV, the New American Standard. By the time the 1950s roll along, the word liberty is only in that book 10 times. Then the next thing to roll along, Good News for Modern Man. Well, I've heard it referred to as Bad News for Modern Man, but there we see in the 1970s it comes along. Do you know how many times the word liberty is found in Good News for Modern Man? One time. Go from 27 times to one time. The NIV of 1984, the NIV's been redone and recopyrighted many, many times. I don't even know how many, but the NIV of 1984, the word liberty, one time, from 27 times down to one time. I have a quote from a Mr. Keith Danby. He's the CEO of Biblica, which used to be the International Bible Society. And he said this concerning the upcoming NIV 2011 edition. Now, this edition is going to be the genderless edition because, you know, we wouldn't want to refer to him and her and, you know, sons and daughters. So they've took all that out of this new NIV. And here's what he said. And this is very telling upon the whole new Bible version industry. He said, and he's not an enemy of it, he's promoting it. He said, and we'll make sure we get it right this time. Well, it's already right. And they're going from, you can't get something straight out of something that's crooked. So, one time. Now, the contemporary English version, copyrighted 1995 by the American Bible Society, has the word liberty in it zero times. Not one time is the word liberty mentioned in the contemporary English version, but the word liberty is found 27 times in our King James Bible. Now, the number 27 is only divisible by 9. 3 times 9 is 27. Now, there's a wonderful truth in this division. I just found this recently. The first 9 times that the word liberty is mentioned is in the Old Testament. There's a distinct division. First 9 times, first time God comes upon the scene, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. And there we begin to see the rise of liberty. Then the second division is in the New Testament. It begins in Luke chapter number 4. We might call this the pinnacle of liberty. We see Jesus come upon the scene, and the Bible says in Luke chapter 4 and verse number 18 that he proclaimed liberty to the captives. And he is quoting, he's reading there out of Isaiah chapter number 61. But from Luke chapter 4 to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 17, that's the end of the second division. It says in 2 Corinthians 3 and 17, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But you know, the last division, the last 9 times that the word liberty is mentioned in the King James Bible, the third division begins with this. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 4. It said, and that because of false brethren, unawares, brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. And I'll tell you, from that point on, the last 9 times the word liberty is mentioned in the King James Bible, it talks about using, abusing, or losing your liberty. And the last time the word liberty is mentioned in the Bible, King James Bible, now I'm talking about 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 19, it says, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. So in these threefold division in the King James Bible, we have the rise, the pinnacle, and then the fall of liberty. You know, it's no wonder our nation is in such a mess today. We've laid down the Word of God. We've picked up these other so-called versions, and old people are taken up with them and think they're the greatest thing. And, you know, this will be, you know, advertising, money. What's behind all this? Confusion. The devil. Once upon a time, our nation was great. We had one book, the Holy Bible, greatest nation upon the face of the earth. You go from the time period where people started accepting, they started rejecting the Bible and picking up these others, you will see the decline of liberty in our nation. The second time the word liberty is mentioned in the Bible is in Psalms 119:45. The psalmist said, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. When we begin to not seek the precepts of God, when we begin to reject and despise the scriptures that God has given unto us, our liberty, it's no wonder in our nation, young people especially, and the last generation, my goodness, not concerned with liberty, not concerned with freedom, just give me, give me, give me. And what's the case? What's wrong with our nation? We've let down the Word of God. The Word of God's still there, but we forgot about it. So we've been talking about the book that birthed a nation. I was reading one of the speeches of George Washington just last night, and the influence of the Bible upon his life is undeniable. I mean, things he said and any of them. I mean, you pick it up, and history bleeds the King James Bible. Well, I appreciate you listening. 400-year anniversary. I appreciate the Word of God. I thank you for listening today. We'd love to hear from you. Noah is going to come back on and give the contact information, our website. We'd love to hear from you. Noah, mm-hmm. Take it away. Thank you for listening today. Have a great day, and God bless. Thanks, Noah.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to reach us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through the church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.